is go.
Tacitus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, and Diane Sorey right over there at the Patriot Factor. Good evening, Diane.
Oh, good evening, Craig, and let's just say what a day it's been again.
Boy, oh boy, yep. Tuesday night edition of the show, by the way, folks, welcome to it. It is the 31st of August.
Right. Yes, it is. But first, I have to tell you, welcome to the club.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you so much. I'm honored to be a part of such an auspicious club, by the way.
As you should be. You are now in good company, including myself.
Yes. Yes. Our friend Pamela Geller is in the club.
Yes. I'm not sure if it's Tucker Carlson, but one of the Fox people, a lot of conservative journalists are in it, and now we are, and why don't you tell them what club it is?
I was unceremoniously thrown out of LinkedIn today.
Yes. But I was thrown out first.
Well, and I think in retrospect, I almost wonder if my getting thrown out had something to do with you.
I got thrown out about a month ago.
Well, I understand that.
I think so.
But this is the notice I got. It says, your account has been restricted. Why did this happen? We have placed a restriction on your account because we detected behavior that appears to violate our terms of service. And then it goes on from there.
Now, I got the same notice, so did Pamela, so did everybody else.
Now,
in other words, we told the truth, and LinkedIn, only wants the lies.
Now, the reason I think this happened, and the reason I think it has to do with you, and not that I'm complaining, because, look, I mean, this is a great club to be in, and normally, I would never belong to a club that would have me as a member, but this is a different case, okay? The reason I think this has something to do with you is the fact that the last article I posted on there is the one we're covering tonight, which was co-written, you and I together.
Yes. Well,
now, I'm wondering
case,
if they...
What can I say?
Well,
I think mine was the one about COVID and that the vaccines are not really what they purport to be. But that was also at the same time I did another controversial article. I don't remember which one.
That other article really wasn't controversial. I mean, it really honestly wasn't. And, but COVID's getting everybody thrown off. But I didn't even mention COVID in this latest thing. The only thing I can think of is that your name was on it as a co-author. So,
great.
I don't know. But anyway, I'm in the club, and I'm okay with that.
So am I. It's one less thing we have to post on every day.
It is. And honestly, look, it's kind of odd that I got thrown off today because just yesterday, I happened to look on there, and I had 3,700 or 3,800 people that were following me on there. But now, I don't know how much play I ever got off of there. But apparently, they don't like me anymore, and I probably won't get a Christmas card from LinkedIn this year. So, yeah.
I join the party.
I move on. Mm-hmm. We are going to be talking in the final two segments tonight. We're going to be covering the article that I just mentioned. Diane and I worked together and co-wrote an article, Breaking Trust, Breaking Honor. And obviously it has to do with Afghanistan. It was obviously written nearly a week ago now, because we published it, I think, what, last Thursday?
I believe it was on Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
Maybe even Saturday, but all I know, it was early.
Well, we could see things coming as far as Afghanistan was concerned, and we wanted to get this published before we got to this date, which is August 31st, and the deadline, if you will. But that's not to say that we're done talking about Afghanistan. You and I have not co-written a piece for next Tuesday, but they're companion pieces.
Oh, absolutely companion pieces. And they actually work very well together.
Yeah. So we'll be covering, you know, we'll continue to cover this Afghan debacle, you know, because I'm sure, and I think, Diane, you're in the same mind frame, the crap storm is not going to end soon.
No, not at all. It's going to become the new COVID. You know, every day, all the media talked about was COVID, COVID, COVID. And now if it's Afghanistan, it's just too bad the media is on the wrong side of the coin regarding Afghanistan.
If they have a massive super spreader event in Kabul, we can cover a lot of ground in one article.
Yeah. A
twofer. So let's talk about Afghanistan, because we're going to be talking about that throughout the whole show, obviously, with the co-written article coming up in the final two segments tonight. But let's spend this first segment talking about some of the crap that happened today, and let's start with Joe Biden's speech to the nation this afternoon.
Oh, dear, dear. When he said this was a ultimate, what was it exactly? An ultimate success.
Mm.
I didn't know, you know, we have a policy of never leaving anyone behind. I didn't know that a success doesn't take that into account. He left Americans, he left Afghanis, he left British, and he left America's service dogs who were there helping out, you know, the bomb-sniffing dogs and,
right,
and whatever. He left them all behind. So now, how is this the ultimate success?
I did a little extra digging into that service dog thing, because I'll tell you what, when I saw that this morning, I was lit on fire. I was hot. And I still am. But I did a little extra digging this afternoon on that particular story, and I come to find out, Not that this makes it any less bad, okay, because I still think this is absolutely heinous, all right? But those service dogs were actually not official military dogs, but they were American contractor service dogs. Now, I don't care. That's a dog's hair's width of difference. And those service dogs kept Americans and our allies alive over there.
Yeah. You know what? That's just word semantics, because
exactly,
I saw pictures of those dogs. They were stuffed into cages with no food, no water, and they were ordered to leave them behind. Hell would freeze over before I ever left one of my animals behind. These are specially trained dogs, whether they're military or belong to the private contractors, they're there to do a job.
Well, as far as I'm concerned,
just like leaving a service member behind.
I agree. As far as I'm concerned, these dogs are U.S. Army soldiers and United States Marines. And if my commanding officer told me to leave my dog behind, I'd put my commanding officer in the cage and put my dog on the airplane.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that. But the whole scenario is disgusting. I mean, I was watching reports of Afghans who were key, instrumental to helping our troops, begging, get us out, get us out. And because they couldn't make it to the airport because the Taliban were in the way, Biden just leaves them behind. But this is an ultimate success in his mind.
Well, not only did he call it an ultimate success, at one point he said that... Extraordinary success. At one point in that speech this afternoon, while he was patting himself on the back, he was talking about the airlift and the fact that, you know, we're the only country in the world that had the capability and the assets to make an airlift like that happen. And I'm thinking, in my own mind, we're the only country that it never should have had to have been necessary to do.
Exactly. And I can honestly, I'm not sure because I think the Russians had to do this too, but we were forced because of Biden to leave expensive military equipment behind, which the Taliban are now using as props. They are now using for heinous acts. And, basically it started with Bagram being deserted in the middle of the night, not telling the Afghans who helped us, not telling anyone, just packing up, closing the doors, everybody gets out, the equipment stays, and it's now all in the Taliban's hands.
I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around it. This is not the way things should have gone. And there was simply no need for things to go this way. This is all on Biden, 100%. And plus, you know, let's get into this on that speech, because we can, you know, we're gonna hash through some of the details as we, you know, cover the co-written article here in just a little bit. But let me bring this up about the speech. The moment he started talking this afternoon, he had something in his mouth. It was on his right side, which would be, to the viewer watching TV, it would be on the left side of his mouth. So if you didn't catch it, go back and watch the YouTube of this. There's something in his mouth, and he had to keep kind of adjusting his lips to keep whatever it was in there so it wouldn't come shooting out of his mouth halfway through the speech. And Diane, I sent you a text message, and I said, there's something in his mouth. Is that some sort of medication?
Yes.
Do you think they had him on some sort of an adrenaline thing? Because, man, the first half of that speech, he was mad, he was angry, he was forceful, he was loud, he was abrupt. Mm-hmm. Was that some sort of adrenaline boost?
It's in common in medical lingo. It was some form of, and I'm sure, a legal form of an amphetamine to keep him astute, awake, and focused. And they're short acting. But when, I should say short lasting, fast acting, when it wore off, his whole demeanor changed. He became the whispery, unsure, unfocused Biden. It was like two different people giving the speech. So you know the man was medicated.
Yeah, I mean, and you're absolutely right. As soon as I noticed he did not have whatever that lozenge was in his mouth, all of a sudden he gets into that whisper thing and just really kind of almost falls asleep. And, And I sent you another text message. I said, I think he just exceeded the limits of his medication.
Yep. And I said, that's exactly what it looks like.
Folks, if you doubt this, go back and watch the YouTube. I'm just telling you. Yeah. It's a bizarre thing, but we have mentioned it on this show before. The minute he starts that whisper mode, that's when you know the meds have worn off.
Yeah, and you can see it in his face. You can see his eyes lose focus. He starts slurring his speech, stumbling a little bit. But besides that we saw off the speech, he made special points of continuing to blame President Trump for his military ineptitude.
Yeah. My predecessor had a deal with the Taliban. That's what he calls it, Taliban.
He doesn't even know how to pronounce it.
You know, and he kept whining and pissing and moaning about that. You know, and we had no choice. Here's what he said the choices were. We could either get out or we could commit tens of thousands of more troops and go back to war. Now, I'm thinking in my head as he's saying this, look, we only had 2,500 people on the ground to begin with when all this started, right? And we've been able to hold the line on the Taliban. We hadn't had a single U.S. service man or woman die in over 18 months. So we're holding the line on the Taliban with 2,500 people. But the only choice was either we leave or we commit tens of thousands of people and go back to work.
No. First of all, the Afghan military, you know, they weren't the greatest. We all admit that. However, they needed us for logistics, for air support, for intelligence gathering. They were at least functioning to some degree. We should have never left Afghanistan. We were not nation building there. We were trying to prevent terrorists from retaking the country, for regaining a foothold and a concentrated base of operation. On that, we've lost. But in my mind, we did not leave Afghanistan in defeat because we lost militarily. We left Afghanistan in defeat because of politics, politicians, and an inept president who continues to have his strings pulled and doesn't have a logical thought process at all anymore. We lost because of him.
I agree 100%, but let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. When he said today in that speech that all of his generals, all of his cabinet, everybody at the Pentagon, and his commanders on the ground were in 100% agreement that we get out and do it the way that he eventually did it. What did you think?
First of all, he's full of crap.
Okay.
Because most of them are Obama appointees, number one. Number two, a few of them have come out and actually contradicted things he has said. So he lied. He out and out lied.
I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine commanders on the ground knowing what's going on over there and having access to the intel would say, yeah, this is the way we do it. We just cut and run.
No. No,
we
didn't
cut
and run. We were forced out by ineptitude. But you know what, Craig? When you think about it, Trump's plan, yes, we were going to pull back on Trump's plan, but we were going to leave people there. We were not deserting the country. We were not deserting those who helped us. Biden had us hightailing it and running out of there because he could not accept the fact that his, I'll use the word predecessor, but I mean his before Trump, Obama. He cannot accept the fact that it was Obama, the man he was vice president under, who actually set this policy when back on June 22nd in, I believe it was 2011 or 2012, when he made nice kissy face with the Taliban and told them, oh, we'll be leaving. All they had to do was wait us out, and basically that's what happened.
That's exactly what happened. Now, Diane, earlier today, and when I say earlier, I mean like way early today, you put up a meme on Facebook that basically had a chart and showed some numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm going into it right now. Yes, I know, and it's very upsetting numbers.
Tell, you know, when you find it, I could tell you what's in it, but I want you to do it because this was your meme.
Okay. Well, it's not my meme. I didn't make this.
Well, no, but you put it up, so I want you to tell
me. Okay, let's put it this way. Okay, it has to do with our troops. Troops deployed to protect 535 members of Congress against flag-wielding Trump supporters, 26,000. Troops deployed to protect 15,000 American citizens trapped in Afghanistan against actual terrorists, 5,000.
Let those numbers sink in, folks.
Mm-hmm.
26,000 troops were sent to rescue, right? 535 cowards that were hiding under their desks.
Right.
Okay, but we only sent 5,000 to rescue 15,000 American citizens that were under threat of death from Islamist terrorists.
Exactly.
And not only that, but the Biden administration handed those terrorists a list of the Americans and our allies' names.
Yes, we all know that, and I'm going to go into detail about that next week.
I mean, that's just horrendous, but let me give you another figure, and this ought to light people's hair on fire, too. Okay, out of the last five flights that went out of Afghanistan, there was not one single American citizen on board. Not one.
Right. Exactly. Pretty sad, isn't it, folks?
I mean, you've got
pretty damn sad.
Hundreds of Americans are left over there. Hundreds. Okay, and there's potentially 10,000 Afghans left over there that assisted us over a 20-year period.
And there's also a number of British nationals that are left there. There are some Germans. There are assorted others that stood by us in the war on terror that have now been deserted because of Joe Biden.
But the evacuation was a success, according to Joe Biden. It was successful.
Oh, yeah, a rip-roaring success. And he's saying that, he claims, I should say, that without evidence, the Afghan exit went extremely well. Really?
Yeah,
I guess the 13, now 14 dead Americans and the 200 plus Afghans, I guess their lives just didn't matter.
Well, you know, now that you bring that up, in the few minutes, 5 minutes or so that we have left, 6 minutes in this segment, let's talk about Joe Biden checking his watch while those bodies were coming off the plane.
Well, the cover-up has already begun, folks, because some of the liberal end of the media, which is most of the media, are saying, well, he does wear his son, Beau Biden, his bracelet because he's the one that died of cancer. And he was looking at that. That's well and fine in your own time. If that's even true, I don't believe that that's what he was looking at. I believe it was his watch because Beau Biden did not die in service. he died of cancer. Okay, and you don't do that. The military families, especially certain fathers, are furious at him because he kept checking his watch, checking his watch, checking his watch. And what makes it more grievous is that today's presser, Jen Psaki, didn't deny it. She tried to sidestep it. So right. There is your truth.
13 times mm-hmm. he checked his mm-hmm. watch during that ceremony. Mm-hmm. And you're right, yeah. The parents of some of those soldiers were absolutely furious. He met with some of those parents. And I heard one of the fathers say that in the whole time that he was meeting with them, he never talked about the 13. He talked about his son, Bo.
Right.
But he never talked about 13. And I'm thinking, well, what the hell does Bo have to do with it? Because like you said, Diane, his son Bo died of cancer. His son Bo wasn't killed by terrorists in Afghanistan.
Exactly. Exactly. Biden can't keep a conscious thought in his head. He was supposed to be there as commander in chief. Well, he failed those that were killed because of him, and he failed their families as well, as far as I'm concerned.
The mother said he wouldn't even look him in the eye. He wouldn't even look at him in the eye. Well, how could you? You know, I mean, if you've done what he's done. But, I mean, they said it was just, there wasn't a shred of decency in the man. There wasn't a shred of remorse in the man. There wasn't a shred of empathy in the man. He just wanted to talk about Bo Biden.
Yeah. Here it is. Your child is killed. And he wants to talk about his son whose death had absolutely no connection with the military. That in itself is a slap in the face to all those families. I had done a meme a couple of days ago when we heard that he was going to be there. He had no business being there. None.
No, it was ridiculous. I'm surprised you didn't offer them a commemorating painting from Hunter. I mean, well, you know, because they're worth $500,000.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I mean, look, this whole thing has gone from horrible to hideous, and it's going to go from hideous to heinous before this is over.
And absolutely.
I think we're a long ways from it being over. You know, I mean, just the fallout from this. There's going to be ripples of this forever. And, folks, if you don't think so, if you think, well, it may not be so bad, you know, North Korea is refiring up their ability to make nuclear weapons. And the only reason they're doing that is because they know they got a simpleton sitting in the Oval Office and won't do anything.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, this whole thing is a shamble. Our military deserves every bit of credit we can give them. They bravely fought for 20 years to keep a country free, and also to protect the rest of the world from these terrorist bastards doing what they do again. Because of Joe Biden and the Taliban now in control, along with Al-Qaeda and a very, very dangerous segment of ISIS, you just know we're going to see more 9/11s happening.
Oh, yeah.
Not just here, but in other countries as well. And that, too, lays on Joe Biden.
You know, I've got a couple of pretty good friends that did a lot of fighting over there. Senator Tom Brewer and his chief of staff, Tony Baker. And, you know, one of these days I'm going to have to get a hold of Tom and see maybe if we can get he and Tony together and have him on as a guest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that would be great.
Tom got shot up and blown up. He's got two Purple Hearts. He did 8 tours in Afghanistan. 8.
Wow.
You know, and I think Tony's got 7 or 8. tours of his own over there. And, you know, Tom and Tony were both helicopter pilots over there. They worked very closely with the Afghan people over there. They know more about this situation than I think almost any other two people you care to mention. So,
yeah.
I'll have to get a hold of Tom and see if we can hook up a Skype thing and have them on as a guest real soon.
Yes, that would be great.
You know, they're both great people, so I would look forward to it. Well, folks, look, we've gotten to the bottom of the hour here. We've got to take a quick break. Station IDs, you know, all that kind of stuff. When we come back, we're going to spend the next two segments talking about breaking trust, breaking honor. Diana and I co-wrote the article. We're going to work our way through it for the next two segments. So hang on. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at The National Patriot and Diane Sorey at The Patriot Factor. And if you miss any part of tonight's show, all you have to do is become a pod person. That's easy enough to do. You go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and presto, you are a pod person.
Yes.
We love our pod people, too. We're getting more and more pod people all the time.
Oh, yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. We thank Podbean for hosting the podcast. And, folks, you can find not only this show, but all of our shows there. And welcome to them. All right. So, Diane, about a week ago, you and I were feverishly working on a co-written article, Breaking Trust, Breaking Honor. We got this thing done and published, really, in record time. Published it last Thursday. It's been languishing ever since. But why don't you get us started with the first part of this article, Breaking Trust, Breaking Honor.
Okay. Let me start by saying, for the record, let's get two things straight. First, while Joe Biden might be sitting in the White House, he is not the one running the Afghan show. Barack Hussein Obama is. And second, not only is Obama pulling Biden's strings, but we believe he is and has been for years the direct link between the U.S. and the Islamists. Read the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS here. And Obama's goal, both during his administration and his now Biden-fronted, de facto third term in office, is to not only weaken America's military and sully our reputation on the world stage, but to do so in such a way that there will be no way for the U.S. to stop the formation and spread of the Islamic Caliphate, the Levant, if you will. Think we're kidding? We're not. For the man who bowed down to kings and kissed the hands of Imams is the very man who released Gitmo incarcerated Taliban operatives, knowing well that they had but one objective in mind, to rejoin the fight against American forces, both in Afghanistan and elsewhere. Obama, a traitor to this country, is now shadow directing America's pullout from the very country that served as a much needed stopgap between the Islamic controlled countries of the Middle East and those more friendly to the West. Now relishing in America's Afghan debacle, Obama remains silent, and that itself says all one needs to know. For this, the man who has a deep hatred for our country knows that right now he's more valuable to the cause behind the scenes than he is out front. And with his having announced our military's August 31st data withdrawal, Biden knows he has repeated the most serious of Obama's anything but a mistake. When first, on June 22, 2011, Obama announced to the world that he had just ordered the U.S. military to withdraw 10,000 troops from Afghanistan by the end of the year and to pull out another 23,000 by the summer of 2012, and again on May 27, 2014, when he announced his plan for a full troop withdrawal by the end of 2016. And here is where the Taliban, Craig, were able to start planning their return to power, as they had just had to wait out the U.S. And with these two announcements, Barack Hussein Obama knowingly set the stage for the Taliban's return.
You know, when Obama released those Gitmo terrorists, he said that they promised they would never go back into the field of war and fight against us again. And look, if you can't trust an Islamic terrorist, who can you trust? Right?
Exactly right.
But, you know, you've brought up Obama, so let's continue along those lines. What do we know or what can we accurately surmise regarding Obama's play in all of this, and what do you think's behind it?
Okay. So now is Joe Biden had serious mistakes, seemingly of his own, including his not getting all the Americans, the civilian personnel, and our Afghan allies out of harm's way before announcing his withdrawal date, along with his then pulling much-needed eyes-on-the-ground intel people out first, a move so counterproductive to military strategy. Know that Obama's hand is all over this as well. But the most grievous of all Biden's mistakes is our belief that it was Obama himself who instructed him to tell the Americans and their Afghan allies to get to Kabul's airport, their only real means of escape. And by their doing so, we are now faced with thousands of folks herded together in what could be an American and Afghan bloodbath occurring on, just before, or soon thereafter, Biden's announced August 31st pullout date, a date the Taliban insisted not be extended or else consequences would be paid. In fact, a Taliban spokesman did state that, and I'm quoting here, if the U.S. or U.K. were to seek additional time to continue evacuations, the answer is no, or there would be consequences, end quote. And to that, he added that if Biden tries to maintain a presence to secure and operate the Kabul airport beyond August 31st, such a move, quote, will create mistrust between us. If they are intent on continuing the occupation, it will provoke a reaction. And so the Taliban's red line was drawn, and with the 20th anniversary of 9/11 less than 2 weeks away, the Taliban, ISIS, or even Al-Qaeda could now actually be planning a terrorist attack on the airport as their way of reminding us and the world that it was they who changed then and continue to change now, America forever. And here I want to add, folks, we did this before the attack happened. We knew it was coming. But as we write this, this is the airlift out of Kabul that is continuing on, but to a lesser degree, as armed Taliban fighters did circle the airport and are blocking its points of both entry and departure. So what did Biden in regards to this newest development do but reference the Civil Reserve Air Fleet Program, a program initiated during the Berlin airlift of decades ago, an airlift that can, if used right, be an adjunct to our military's capabilities during a crisis. And in his effort to make it seem like he's in charge, Biden requested that 18 aircraft from U.S. commercial carriers be used, not to assist in helping to get trapped Americans out of the country, but to transport already safe Afghan refugees to their final points of destination, what with their having already been safely evacuated from Kabul itself. And you know what, Craig? He put Afghans before American safety. And that sure is a sign that Biden has again let Obama pull his strings.
Well, it is. Now, today, in that god-awful speech that Biden gave to the nation, he was all proud of the fact that, you know, we got 90% of all the Americans out of Afghanistan. But is that what he promised just about a week ago or not?
No. Because remember, he also pledged on national television to bring all Americans home. That is, quote, Americans who want to evacuate, end quote. Biden's words, not ours. Words spoken even after the Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby stated that the State Department, quote, didn't know how many Americans were still trapped in Afghanistan or whether those Americans would be able to get out. And with his adding that the military is not, quote, equipped and able to help those Americans trapped inside their homes, Biden has tried via word semantics to create for himself a way out of his taking responsibility for any Americans left behind and killed. In fact, it's word semantics of the very worst kind. For with the White House continuing to refer to those Americans still trapped in Afghanistan as being stranded, stranded is far from the truth. For what they are is Americans being abandoned by the very government whose duty it is to protect them. Now a fundamental betrayal of the very basis of this constitutional republic, as the president's duty is to protect the, quote, health, safety, and welfare of the American people, no matter where they may be. And with Biden pulling our troops out before all Americans have been brought to safety, he has actually violated both the Constitution and his oath of office. Grounds for removal from office, we'd say. And so as collateral damage, Americans will be left behind as Biden has caved to the Taliban when he announced last Tuesday that he will not extend the August 31st deadline to remove all American troops from Afghanistan, and added that American troops had to start leaving on Friday, August 27th, in order to meet the end of the month deadline. And Craig, this decision came after a final meeting between Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar and CIA Director William Burns in Kabul. The inept versus the barbarian, but notice the deadline's wording concerns, quote, American troops, and makes no mention of American civilians not connected to the military. And it's here where Biden's own people are finally admitting that not all Americans will make it out. Even the infamous Adam Schiff recently stated that he believes it's, quote, very unlikely that we will get every American out of Afghanistan by the end of the month.
Well, look, I mean, you know, Biden makes these promises, and even when he makes them, you can tell there is no sincerity in his voice. There's no meaning behind it. But, you know, through all of that, And while all that was happening, and even as we were writing this article, we could see the situation at Hamid Karzai Airport in Kabul starting to disintegrate. So what happened next?
Okay. What Biden, in his ineptness, did, he actually put American troops, who can at least protect themselves, ahead of probably unarmed American civilians in the rush to get out. And like lambs to the slaughter, they will go. And it's already started, folks. And not to be overlooked is that in our haste to evacuate as many people as we can, and with concrete barriers then ringing Kabul's airport, making it near impossible for those truly seeking escape to get past the crushing crowds, the Taliban checkpoints, let alone circumnavigate U.S. bureaucracy slowdowns regarding Afghans securing needed visas. How do we know that besides Americans carrying U.S. passports, who we are exactly getting out? We don't. And for all we know, Taliban, ISIS, and Al-Qaeda sleeper operatives could be amongst those who were able to get on some of those flights out. In fact, a recent Associated Press report stated that besides the airlift, U.S. military helicopters flew into Kabul two Fridays ago to scoop up would-be evacuees, those were those words, whomever they might be, claiming that 16,000 people, some Americans but mostly Afghans, were airlifted out of the Kabul area in a mere 24 hours by our C-17 transport planes. But no, that number seems highly impossible. And why? Because said rescue would mean that we had to fly in an average of two C-17s in and out of Kabul airport, getting them refueled and loaded with people every hour on the hour, with no interference by the Taliban, a scenario not likely to have happened. And again, if true, who exactly was rescued, as the number of Americans reported still trapped in Afghanistan at that time seems not to have gone down in number, while the number of Afghans supposedly boarding those planes is more than the actual number of Afghans who aided the U.S. And here is something else to be concerned about that Biden didn't tell us, and it's coming from sources in Panjshir, the only province in Afghanistan not under Taliban control, but now surrounded by Taliban fighters. According to the resistance leaders in Panjshir, a local affiliate of ISIS is indeed considering targeting the crowds gathered both outside and in Kabul's airport with suicide bombers and/or firing missiles at U.S. and other aircraft still taking off and landing. And while our military planes, in an effort not to be hit by rocket fire, have been seen executing dangerous corkscrew landings at times over Kabul, other of our aircraft have also been firing flares upon takeoff and landing in an effort to avoid Taliban missile attacks. And this means that the musings out of Panjshir, coupled with the Taliban's warning, right, are something to be taken very seriously. And now, unfortunately, folks, we know that this stuff did indeed occur.
Now, Diana, well, it did. Now, I want to stop you right there because I want to remind people when you and I put this article together, okay? We did this a week ago. We did this before the attack at the Kabul airport. We did this before any of that news broke. This was published literally the day. We published it early in the morning, and it was later that day that the whole thing descended into abject horror at the airport. Now, keeping that in mind, folks, I want you to pay particular attention to this next little part here. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, why should this have been taken seriously? Simply because ISIS, which we know is in Afghanistan and which Obama helped to create, would love nothing better than to kill innocent Americans huddled together in the target-rich Kabul airport, something the Taliban would do little to nothing to prevent. And in return, ISIS would secure within Afghanistan a needed base of operation to work from in their quest to secure the Levant, while gladly leaving the Taliban sole control over Afghanistan itself. So two questions still remain. First, how do we get our remaining people out of harm's way when we have a president being controlled by Barack Hussein Obama, a man who cares little about how many Americans are killed in the process? Because why else would Biden, surely on Obama's say-so, have ordered the evacuation and shutdown of Bagram Air Base, a base which has more runways than Kabul's Hamid Karzai International Airport, and the very base that has long been the central point of American operations in Afghanistan? Why else indeed, other than to assure that not only will there be massive collateral damage in the end, but to assure the Taliban that America leaves Afghanistan in defeat, as did the Russians before them? Remember, while Obama's loyalty to his Muslim brethren are worn on his sleeve, Joe Biden, deep in the throes of dementia, is only capable of doing what he's told to do. And second, how do we save Afghanistan herself at the same time that we're being forced to leave? Simply by making our leaving loud enough for the whole world to hear, as in bombing every Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS nest we can find, as we should have done right from the beginning, and let the true Afghan government and what's left of its military take care of the cleanup. And then once that's done, we should start entertaining the ideas of a military tribunal, looking into the fact that both America's current and former commander-in-chief sold both our military and our country out by arranging us to leave in defeat from a country that, if it had been handled right from the beginning, as in with hands untied from our military's back, would now, in our opinion, be free. And folks, unfortunately, as we all now know, we really didn't leave that way.
We certainly didn't. Now, we're gonna stop here. We're going to take a little pause, and let's discuss everything that you've just talked about here for the next few minutes. Then we'll get a station break in. We'll continue after that with Breaking Trust, Breaking Honor. I want to go back to this thing that I wanted to highlight just a couple of minutes ago. The Biden administration, everybody from the Pentagon, State Department, the White House, doesn't matter where, well, they just didn't see any of this coming. They just had no idea this was going to happen like this. They were caught completely off guard, right? Well, I call BS, because you and I, Diane, we're sitting here a week ago putting this article together, and not only could we see it coming, we saw it coming months ago. Okay, we talked about it months ago. But not only could we see the current situation the way it was unfolding, we knew exactly what was going to happen. We just couldn't pick the exact time and the exact day. Okay?
Right.
But we knew that airport, Hamid Karzai Airport in Kabul, was going to be ground zero, and the crap was going to hit the fan right there.
And it's a very simple logistical reason. All the folks were herded together. You want to create collateral damage. What better place to do it than in a place where there are thousands of people all together? It made sense that this would be the target.
Yeah, but I mean,
but nobody in the administration cared.
And no precautions were taken. In fact, the only precaution that was taken was trusting the Taliban to maintain safety outside the airport. Come on.
Yeah, now I'm going to get in to my article next Tuesday. I'm going to tell you exactly who was in charge. And folks, it again goes back to a previous administration, and it ain't Donald Trump.
We're both going to be talking about that in various forms next Tuesday on this very show.
Yes.
Okay. But I mean, we could see this coming. We knew this was going to happen. We said, don't trust the Taliban. You can't trust the Taliban to maintain security. Well, you know, I mean, we were right ahead of time. And looking back on it now with 2020 hindsight, holy crap, were we right?
Exactly. Yes. The reason we were able to know this, folks, and we've said this many times, we don't just look at what's going on. We stand back and look at the picture. We look at past incidents, present incidents, and by standing back, we're able to see, well, these are the possibilities. So out of these possibilities, what is the most likely scenario? And well, not everybody does that. They're focused on the here and now instead of stepping back and looking at the bigger picture.
You know, it doesn't hurt either that both you and I have some pretty decent contacts. And we can get, you know, we can get information and, you know, and find out things. We can get kind of a warning shot, if you will, when something like this is going to happen. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, if we can figure it out, okay, I mean, you know, sitting here at our desks in our, you know, respective portions of the U.S., if we can figure this out, a couple of bloggers, a couple of people with a twice-a-week radio show, if we can figure this out, you damn well know the people in the Pentagon can figure it out. You know the people at the State Department can figure it out. And you know that the people in the White House should be able to figure it out. So if they all had it figured out, why did they allow it to occur? That's the thing, folks. That's the thing you got to keep. That's the question you got to keep asking yourselves.
And in my article next week, I'm going to tell you exactly why.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like I said, folks, we're not done. I mean, because today's the deadline and the last flight is left, we're not done talking about this because there is a lot that needs to be exposed, and we're just crazy enough to do it.
Yes, we are. And that last flight out, I mean, Craig, it actually broke my heart for a number of reasons. Joe made a mockery of our military. He left behind Americans and our allies and those who helped us in the war on terror. He left them all behind, and he didn't give a damn to even take off his mask when the bodies were returned. You couldn't risk COVID for 5 seconds to salute your own military who came home in a box. When I saw that, Craig, I just wanted to throw something at the television.
I'll tell you, it's a miracle my television still works after all this.
Mine too.
You know, I mean, I have to sit on my hands when I'm watching this stuff because, my God, it lights my hair on fire and I am just roaring pissed.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I don't know how else to put it, but good Lord. Good Lord. All right, so we got to take a quick break here. We're just about to the top of the hour. You know how those station ID folks, you know, they're like, come on, get station ID in there. Okay. All right, already. We'll do another station ID. What's that?
Craig, first let me just get this one thing in. In our article, right at the break here of these two parts of the article is, and in some places it's already been taken down, the new ad by the Trump team about the Biden administration and his handling of the whole Afghan fiasco. It's worth a look-see.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, folks, you need to, and you can find it. It's in the article. And by the way, you can get the article at basically three places. Okay, Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, my blog, thenationalpatriot.com, or rspradio1.com. It's available everywhere.
Yes. And it's all over the internet, folks, now.
Yeah, and so hang with us, folks. We'll take care of the enough in the peanut gallery. You know, the station ID people are going crazy back here. We'll take care of them. We'll be back in a couple of minutes to finish up Breaking Trust, Breaking Honor. More on Right Side Patriots after this.
Hey guys, Diane Sori from the Patriot Factor on the patriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. Glad to have you along for the ride tonight, folks. We appreciate you being here. Like I said before, if you miss any part of the show, tomorrow morning, go to rspradio1.com, click the podcast button. You can catch the entire show from tonight. All right, yes. So we are talking tonight about Breaking Trust, Breaking Honor. This is a co-written piece that Diane and I did and got published last week, literally 6 hours or so before the attack on the airport in Kabul. And
actually, Craig, it was on Thursday, August 26th.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that was last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, so we saw it coming. We knew this was going to descend into hell on earth, and we wanted to get this article published, and we're glad we did. But we're by no means done. But let's continue and look at this thing. Like Diane said earlier, step back, look at the big picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Currently in Afghanistan, the situation there still remains untenable at best, with no good or clear options, as we have already stated. But at home, the situation has taken what many consider to be a rather odd, if not outright bizarre, turn. One thing is clear, in American politics, neither cabinet members nor military brass make public statements against their ultimate boss. If they have strong disagreements with policy as set by the Oval Office, they simply resign. That's the case regardless of party affiliation, because the one cardinal sin for anybody in a high-ranking position of any administration is being in direct public contradiction with the Oval Office. That has now changed, and it's very noticeable. Over the past couple of weeks, where this whole Afghanistan debacle is concerned, We have heard public comments from Biden, which have in very short order been directly and publicly contradicted by high-ranking members of Biden's staff. Biden meanders up to a microphone and says that nobody is getting killed in Afghanistan. Shortly after that, and we mean within an hour or two, somebody from inside the inner circle gets to a microphone and tells the public that unfortunately, people have been killed in Afghanistan. Biden said, and I quote, "So we know of no circumstance where American citizens carrying an American passport are trying to get through to the airport," unquote. Biden then went on to state, quote, "We have no indication that they haven't been able to get in Kabul through the airport," unquote. Literally, less than an hour later, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby contradicted Biden publicly, saying, and I quote again, "Though there have been some sporadic reports of some Americans not being able to get through checkpoints, I fully admit that," unquote. After that, and in the same briefing, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin admitted that the Taliban had indeed beaten Americans who were trying to reach the airport in Kabul. And he said, quote, "We've communicated to the Taliban that that is absolutely unacceptable and we want free passage through those checkpoints for documented Americans," unquote. Biden said, quote, "Look, let's put this whole thing in perspective. What interest do we have in Afghanistan at this point with Al-Qaeda gone? We went to Afghanistan for the express purpose of getting rid of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan as well as getting Osama bin Laden, and we did," unquote. In short order, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby again directly contradicted his ultimate boss, Diane, when he said, I quote, "We know that Al-Qaeda is a presence, as well as ISIS in Afghanistan, and we've talked about that for quite some time," unquote.
Well, it's at this point where, you know, Biden started putting his two cents in. But the problem is, he was contradicting what his own people were saying. It was going back and forth, contradicting this, that, and the other thing, and making all sorts of absurd statements.
Well, and it continues to this day. I mean, but exactly. let's go back another, let's say a week, maybe 2 weeks ago. Biden said, quote, "The intelligence community did not say back in June or July that, in fact, this was going to collapse like it did, not even close," unquote. When questioned about that statement, U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan tried his best to maybe sidestep the question, and he said, quote, "I'm not actually familiar with the intelligence assessment you're describing, but I also don't want to get into specific intelligence products, and one thing I will not do from this podium or anywhere else is talk about what a different component of interagency did or didn't do," unquote. On more than one occasion, Biden has recently made claims regarding intel that have rather quickly proven to be false claims, as was the case cited above featuring Jake Sullivan. Now, for instance, Biden said that he was unaware of any circumstance of the U.S. Regarding the U.S. from the handling of the situation in Afghanistan, yet that criticism has been coming in fast and furious from all of our allies, including Germany, France, and the UK. Biden said, quote, "I have seen no question of our credibility from our allies around the world. Matter of fact, the exact opposite I've gotten," unquote. That's rather odd, as the UK Parliament actually condemned Biden over his handling of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, and they raked their own prime minister over the coals before they realized that Biden had failed to place a phone call to Boris Johnson for better than 36 hours after the debacle began. So what's going on here? Well, it's easy to point to Biden's diminished mental state and pass it off as just that, but we don't believe that even comes close to what is actually happening. Regarding the bogus intel statements made by Joe Biden, it is entirely possible that key intel reports have been deliberately withheld from Biden. We also believe it to be entirely possible that fabricated intel has been supplied to Joe Biden. And while the thought of such a thing happening is staggering, we believe it's all part of the plan. We've been saying all along, and literally from the moment it was announced that Biden had supposedly won in 2020, that he would not be able to finish his first term due to his diminished mental condition, a condition readily obvious throughout the 2020 campaign. We have said, and both written, that what we believe to be the impending use of the 25th Amendment to remove an unfit-for-the-job Biden from office, and we have discussed it many times right here on Right Side Patriots. But before we get to the gist of this, Diane, there are some other aspects that I think maybe we need to bring to light.
Yes, and this is very, very surprising because in recent memory, Craig, I cannot remember anything like this happening. And it actually concerns the mainstream media.
Well, it's odd. I mean, it's out of character for the mainstream media, but throughout the 2020 campaign, according to the mainstream media, Biden was golden. He could do no wrong, regardless of the mountains of evidence against him. To say that the mainstream media carried Biden's water would be a gross understatement, and they've been continuing in that regard since Biden was enshrined in the Oval Office, that is, up until the past week or so. Now, even his staunchest allies in the Democrat Party propaganda arm, known as the mainstream media, are running with stories that shine a negative light on their golden child, Joe Biden. Could it be that the mainstream media has seen the light? Have they suddenly come to their socialist senses? Are they in the midst of an attack of spontaneous journalistic integrity? No. Clearly, there's something else behind them turning on Biden, as they have for better than a week now. Here's the deal. We believe that just like the disaster in Afghanistan was deliberate and orchestrated by Barack Hussein Obama, as outlined earlier, so to have the downfall of Biden been a deliberate and orchestrated thing. We believe that forcing Biden from office has been a foregone conclusion since the day he was nominated, and we believe that the initial plan was to allow Biden to sink his own ship due to his decline into dementia. But remember, it was Obama who once said, quote, "Never underestimate Joe's ability to F things up," unquote. We believe that Obama just felt that he could no longer take the chance that Biden might inadvertently do something right or let slip that illegal things had been done to put him in the White House. Rather than continue to risk being exposed, we believe that Obama is now in the process of, well, expediting Biden's removal from office. Could it be that false intel was fed to Biden, or perhaps no intel at all made its way to Biden deliberately, so as to keep him in the dark regarding the full situation in Afghanistan for the purpose of making Biden look cognitively worse than he already is? Is it possible that it's been orchestrated to have Biden deliver false statements and then quickly have those statements contradicted by his upper level staff, who might be more obligated to Obama than to Biden? Could the entire withdrawal from Afghanistan have been engineered to create maximum chaos on the ground while leaving a mentally diminished Biden holding the bag? And what of the mainstream media, who has for the past 2 years been in lockstep promoting Joe Biden and then suddenly now are in lockstep against him? Well, that smacks of an orchestrated effort to turn the tide as rapidly as possible against their anointed, if not ethically elected, White House resident. The sudden and unprecedented public contradictions of Biden's statements, his utter false statements and lack of situational awareness, dementia aside, and the sudden antagonistic behavior of the mainstream media, Diane, toward Joe Biden is showing in the polls as Biden's ratings are nosediving even amongst Democrats.
Yes. And again, if you step back and look at the big picture, there is an obvious reason for all this. And it has to do, Craig, with the 25th Amendment.
Well, we believe that this is the orchestrated effort to force Biden's resignation or invoke the 25th Amendment so as to shove Biden aside before he exposes the true nature of what is happening behind the scenes and to replace him with Kamala Harris. That's Obama's pick for VP and Obama's willing and somewhat more cognizant puppet. Now, while there will be a new VP assigned for her to choose, remember, the top brass, those cabinet members all too willing to give Biden the final shove out the door, are loyal to the puppet master, Obama. And aside from a possible reshuffling of lower-level deck chairs on the Titanic, just for the sake of appearances, the coup from behind the curtain will continue unabated at least up to the 2022 midterm election. If all of this isn't enough to prove our scenario that Obama is really orchestrating all of this, I want you to consider the following. For the past several months, the supposed Biden administration has continued to send new firearms, new drones, communication gear, and more to the nation they had plans to abandon in just a couple of short weeks. In fact, even as the Taliban was advancing through Afghanistan, those shipments continued. We had 2,500 troops left in Afghanistan just a few short weeks ago, but now the Taliban has in their possession more than 2,000 armored vehicles, including U.S. Humvees, and up to 40 aircraft, potentially including UH-60 Blackhawks, scout attack helicopters, and Scan Eagle military drones. That is according to official intel sources. So why would we be sending massive amounts of military equipment into a country that we were ready to abandon? That can't be blamed on Biden's dementia, nor can it be blamed on poor military judgment, unless the military brass were doing it on purpose, as directed by someone calling the shots and giving the orders from behind the curtain. One final thought. Throughout the process of this debacle, Biden has said over and over again that, quote, we are communicating with the Taliban, unquote. He's not communicating with them. He lacks the ability to engage in that sort of negotiating. That means it's his staff, his high-level Pentagon brass, that are engaging in those communications. And they are most likely loyal to Obama, which means that any communication coming from us is most likely really coming from Obama, and that is treason. If it's not, we don't know what is. While most people, including contributors to major networks, tend to focus on the small picture by taking in the moment regarding the hour-by-hour or day-to-day unfolding of events surrounding this disaster in Afghanistan, we at Right Side Patriots step back and see the big picture and then provide the proper perspective regarding not only what is happening, but why it's happening. That all things happening are happening at once is no coincidence. We know it, and now you know it too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it all reached ahead with our withdrawal from Afghanistan. But you know, Craig, now there's musings amongst some military that eventually we're going to have to go back in.
I don't see how we can help it.
I tend to agree with that. I think we will be going back in sooner rather than later.
Well, here's the problem, okay? as long as Obama's calling the shots, we're not going in. That's my gut feeling. Okay. And that means, you know, another 3.5 years. And
maybe not.
Well,
one attack on American soil with casualties. I think the military, the good, decent, honest military, not those loyal to Obama, but true military men, I think will say, we've had enough. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'd like to hope that.
I hope you're right. But my gut tells me that as long as Obama is the puppet master, they can do, and when I say they, I mean the Taliban, ISIS, ISIS-K, Al-Qaeda, I don't care, Al-Nusra, whatever the Islamist group is, they can do and will do whatever they want with impunity, because Biden all but signaled today, we're done. Our military is done waging war. Oh, he keeps talking about this over the horizon crap. He keeps talking.
I'm going to ask you a question.
All right.
Do you think all our military is really gone? Do you think there's still some volunteers on the ground?
I think there might be a few. I think there might be a few volunteers on the ground, but if they are, my guess is they're up in Panjshir Valley at this point.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
And that's good. I mean, I hope that's the case. Panjshir, you outlined this a week ago. Panjshir is that's where the resistance is, you know. And any attacks that are going to come against the Taliban, against these Islamists, are going to be launched from Panjshir Valley. But the biggest problem is we don't have any airfields up there. We don't have the equipment up there. You know, Biden keeps talking about, oh, we're going to hunt down these terrorists. We're going to kill them. Well, again, that's kind of a Obama thing. You know, you do a little pinprick here, a little pinprick there. You blow up a couple of empty trucks or a couple of trucks sitting in a parking lot and you crow about it. Oh, look what we did. You know, it's not like when Trump, reduced, these Al-Qaeda leaders and these ISIS leaders into little grease spots on an access road.
True.
You know, I mean, Biden supposedly, and I say supposedly because I don't trust what they're telling me. I don't trust it. But supposedly, supposedly he killed two Al-Qaeda planners. Well, you know, planners is what they call the lowest level of anybody in that organization. These are just a couple of dweebs that may be carrying something out. Now, maybe we killed somebody, but I've seen no proof that anybody that was killed in some drone strike was actually a member of Al-Qaeda outside of this government full of lying sacks of crap telling me it was Al-Qaeda.
Well, the actual ones killed, they were not Al-Qaeda operatives. They are the new ISIS-K. They are, they were operatives for ISIS-K, who is more dangerous and more radical than the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and basically ISIS, the basic ISIS, I should say, itself. These are pure savages.
You know, they're all a bunch of barbarians. And yeah, one might be a little bit worse than the next, but you know, you start mixing and matching, and you after a while, you can't tell one from the other.
No, and eventually there's going to be civil war of sorts in Afghanistan, not between the Taliban and the Afghanis per se, but between ISIS and the Taliban. While they're sort of cooperating with each other right now, they are actually enemies with each other. While they're both jihadists, their basic ideologies are kind of opposite of each other as far as their interpretation of Islam. So you're going to see, maybe you're going to have the resistance fighting the Taliban, and then you're going to also have the Taliban having to fight ISIS for control of the country.
Right. Now, the Taliban...
It's going to be a real mess.
Well, it is. The Taliban's got all of our equipment, you know, so they're well-armed, but do they know how to use it?
Exactly.
You know, right now we know that they are, and you got to use your air quotes here, hiring, you know, former members of the Afghan army to do certain...
Don't go into that. I'm not.
They're just doing some really, really, really bad things. But, you know, the situation over there is, like I say, untenable at best. You know, when we put this thing together, we could see this thing descending into chaos, descending into a hellhole. Right?
Yes.
And we were right about every aspect of this. Well, we're telling you now, folks, it's going to get a whole lot worse. Not only regionally, but globally.
Yes. We left Afghanistan militarily, but we haven't left Afghanistan. Let's put it that way, for our own national security reasons.
Right. And on a global scale, you know, you go back in time, go back to when Reagan was in office. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kovar Towers, you know, some of that kind of stuff that was going on, some of those terrorist attacks that were coming out of Libya, you know, and things. I think we're going to see that sort of thing starting to ramp up again here in pretty short order. I think you're going to see attacks on U.S. embassies around the world. I think you're going to see attacks on some of our allies' embassies around the world. That is the kind of stuff you're going to see, I think, shortly before you see an attack on American soil. But, Diane, like you said earlier, that attack's coming too.
That attack is coming, and I really have fear for 9/11. I really do. It would be a perfect opportunity for Al-Qaeda and ISIS. I don't think the Taliban would do it, but it would be a perfect opportunity for Al-Qaeda and ISIS to flex their muscle and say, we're back.
Well, and folks, we're only about 11, 12 days away from that. Not only do you have 9/11, 2001 to worry about, but you also have the anniversary 9/12. You know, 9/11, 2012. So,
yes, you do.
You know, they're going to look at this, and this is the 20th anniversary of what happened in New York. They're going to look at this, and they're going to go, you know what? This is a big deal. 20th anniversary. Let's hit them again.
Well, that I'm not positive about. I'm not saying no. But a bigger anniversary is the 25th, quarter of a century of us being scared to go about our lives in complete freedom like we used to do. Everything changed on 9/11. Somehow the 25th, I think, is an anniversary that we really need to fear.
Well, I understand. I don't disagree with you. But I'm not saying that in the next 10 or 11 days we're going to get hit here at home, but I'm saying in the next 10 or 12 days, we could wind up being hit in some other part of the world. I mean, you know, think to some of the things, the Kovar Towers attacks, the USS Cole attack, you know, some of those types of things, you know, what happened in Benghazi. You know, that's what I look for in the next few days. And then beyond that, you know, you may well be right about the 25th anniversary, something on American soil. Could be right.
But I'm not going to discount anything happening here now, too. It might not happen on 9/11. It might not happen in New York. But I think this withdrawal, the way it has been handled, has emboldened sleeper cells.
I guarantee you.
We'll wake some of the sleeper cells up. And again, this will be on Joe Biden's head.
I 100% agree. You couldn't be more right. Listen, we've gotten to the bottom of the show here. Folks, we want to thank you for bearing with us through all this tonight. Trust us, we're going to get more into this, more into the Obama angle of this, both of us. in separate pieces next Tuesday right here on Right Side Patriots. Of course, we have a show coming up this Friday night. That'll be a talk show. And we'll bring you the latest, not only on Afghanistan, but on other things that are happening in the world this Friday, 7 o'clock, right here at RSPRadio1.com.
Yes.
Diane, with that, we've come to the end of the show. What do you think?
I think so. So, nighty-night, folks.
Good night, folks. Have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up with you on Friday.